This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. I am Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings, a point at listening each weekend at this time. And I'm really excited because in just about a week or so from now, summertime will be here, and I just can't wait. But I digress. And right now is our co-host on New Beginnings, Mr. Joe McKenzie, who is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Here's his telephone number, 763-438-1621. You can also find him online, rippleconnects.com. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us. And we've got a really good program to talk about today. When I got the outline for the basis of our discussion, I was really excited because working in a team environment and then trying to find ways to thrive in a team environment is really apropos for today. So when you describe team environment in the workplace, can you describe what that looks like and the importance of collaborations today? And I'm hearing a lot about collaborations now.
Absolutely. We live in a new world, a new economy. There's been so much disruption that we need to have dynamic teams. We got to have teams that work together, and we got to have individuals that thrive in those environments. And it wasn't always that way. It may have been just certain people that were part of teams, but I think organizationally, most people, even if they're working independently and remotely, still are a part of a bigger team. And the ability to thrive is going to help the organization move forward. If someone does not thrive in a team environment, then the organization and the individual are not going to thrive, and they're not going to be happy with the outcome. So that's the importance. We have so much, Freddie. Do we have a crystal ball? Do we have any idea what the economy is going to look like on June 20th of next year? Of course not. We have no idea what organizations are trying to plan. They're trying to anticipate. They're going to do that through dynamic teams that trust each other, that listen to each other, that work collaboratively together. We're in a new team environment more than ever. And we have to find individuals that want to work as those teams. And we got to find individuals that may have not worked in teams but want to be part of those teams. And how do you define your accomplishments and some of your experiences in regards to the hiring process? Because organizations in the hiring process, Freddie, are going to ask you, tell me how you work as a team. And you have to be able to respond to that and give them specifics in your process for doing that.
And everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, the co-host on our program, New Beginnings, and we're talking about thriving in a team environment. How about that individual who is the so-called lone wolf, and they're forced to these Zoom meetings, they're forced to go out on appointments by themselves and social distance and so forth, but the boss is saying that you need to collaborate. What about that individual who does not have, number one, the experience, but number two, the want to work in a team environment, especially now?
Well, I think everybody should understand that organizations need teams that work together. So even, you know, I've been in sales before. I know that I had a territory, but I knew without my team of service techs and accounting and leasing company and so forth, technical support, I was really ineffective. So I think that individual that is remote, that's working via Zoom, that's working independently, you may not be placed on a team per se, but knowing that the collaborative nature of how you approach your job is going to help you and help the organization to move forward. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I agree. So it may not be team in the classic sense where we're moving together as a group, or in a military where we have a platoon or a squad, but certainly we can find the interdependency with all the pieces that go toward building a certain widget or delivering a certain product.
Correct. The collaborative approach, knowing that everybody has a role. The roles may look differently, but the roles are still important and they interconnect. So I think everybody that is going to be working in an organization and not a sole proprietor is going to have to embrace that collaborative spirit to watch this new economy unfold. But that's how organizations will pull themselves forward if they bring on the people that are willing to collaborate and walk the walk by actually collaborating in a positive way.
In case you just joined us, this is Freddie Bell and Joe McKenzie, our co-host on the program. We're talking this week about thriving in a team environment. And Joe's described what the new dynamic team looks like. And I'm wondering, Joe, how can a job seeker, let's go there, speak to their own workplace collaboration experience during the hiring process when it can be so different in the opportunity that presents itself than where they've been working before?
Well, I think you get down to some of the things that your strengths in the past. You know, a good team member, someone that's collaborate, typically they're pretty good listeners, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about listening. Talk about how you built a multi-generational team and what process you did that, or you collaborated on a multi-generational team. I think as a baby boomer and Gen Xers, the ability to collaborate with all ages is going to be a plus because the millennials are the biggest generation in the workforce today. So you talk about that. You define your role within working on a greater team and how you maybe interact differently with different people on that team. Those are ways that an employer, and what they're really looking for is your demonstration of how you've collaborated in the past. And just citing, you know, building a trust level with someone through listening and understanding where they're at and where they're coming from. Those are ways that someone can stand out and to give really your method for working on a team or developing a team or thriving on a team. Some of those, just those simple skills. Freddie, you've worked on teams together and the people that you collaborate with have some of those skills I mentioned, right?
They do. And it's really interesting that you don't really know what you will find out until you're really into the meat of a project when you have to perform, you have to produce, or because you have to hold up your part of the bargain if you're a team. So if you're really a collaborative partner, at some point, your skill set will show. And I believe that it's not just a one-to-one. If I'm collaborating with you and someone else and someone else, it's not 1 + 1 + 1. It's 1 + 1 + 1 = 8 instead of 4.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, you know, those are ways a job seeker can help in the hiring process. If an interview asks you, tell me a time that you worked as a team. Well, you're going to cite a specific experience in your resume and your past work history, but also flesh out how you built the team or how you thrived on a team. And that could, Freddie, that could be as simple as, you know, I enhanced my purposeful listening skills. I tried to understand what someone was thinking and why they were thinking that way. You know, the act of listening, purposeful listening, you know, building trust. High performance teams have a high level of trust, right?
That's right.
How do you build trust with the team? You don't wait 3 to 5 years. How do you build trust early so you put your team in position to thrive earlier than later? Those are all ways, and if you can demonstrate your process, not just saying I worked as a team, I worked as a great team, this is what we did, but define your process and how you thrived as a team member or you built the team. And that's what really the employer's hoping, that you're going to bring that same acumen, that same method to their organization. It's not enough to say you were great 10 years ago or 2 years ago. You have to define the process for how you thrived as a team. What were some of those strengths that you embodied every day? And it could be as simple as, I built a high level of trust with my team. They knew I was going to follow through and vice versa. I understood via listening what they were anticipating and what they were thinking. Those are transferable. And that's why those employers are looking for that. And that should be a job seeker strategy, is tell them your methods and your process for thriving on a team.
That sounds exciting. Do you have final thoughts on our program today, Thriving in a Team Environment, Joe?
Well, I can tell you, with the new economy unfolding in front of us, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of disruptions. There's going to be more curveballs thrown at organizations. Without a team, without a team approach, and people that thrive on teams, organizations will struggle. And so those are my final thoughts. Be ready to cite and be ready to thrive on a team by some of the things that we talked about today.
That's Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects, and you do some fine work with your friends and your clients that you come in contact with, Joe.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP Job Board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
As we continue this weekend on New Beginnings, it's my pleasure to share some information with you about coronavirus, the new normal. We had an opportunity to read some information from Deborah Birks. Dr. Deborah Birks is the U.S. Coronavirus Response Coordinator, and she talks about some lessons we've learned so far. The first has to do with what has been discovered so far and how to treat the virus. Dr. Birks says we've learned a lot about how to treat the seriously ill. She says our doctors, our hospitals, and our nurses have done a wonderful job improving the care of the sickest patients. She said there are nuances about when people need oxygen, how much oxygen they need, whether they need to go on a ventilator, when that should happen, and how they should be positioned. She says that's really critical knowledge, and it's been improving in hospital and in ICU care. She was also asked the kind of changes that she believes will occur in the United States care system as a result of this. And she sees two big things that are happening. One, she says they know right now where every ICU bed and ventilator is in the country. Having that up-to-date inventory is important when you're managing any pandemic. She says they have as much visibility across the country into what the healthcare system has and how it needs to be additionally supported. Secondly, she says they know clearly that you need to take better care of yourself. She says you need to ensure that your hypertension is under control, your diabetes is under control. And she says if you have those risk factors, people need to immediately protect themselves. Other lesson Dr. Burke says we have learned is how vulnerable our long-term care facilities are to infectious diseases. She says our Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is always focused on infection control in nursing homes. And she says we've also learned how even more critically important it is that nursing homes have excellent infection control. We're sharing information with you this morning from Dr. Deborah Burks. She is the doctor, the U.S. Coronavirus Response Coordinator, on lessons we've learned so far from the coronavirus. She says we also know that we have to change our behavior. She hopes that what comes out of this are significant recommendations to decrease human exposure to wild animals. She says it's the wild animals that we don't have everyday exposure to. We have no ability to handle their viruses, particularly if they jump to us. She says HIV came out of wild animals. Ebola comes out of animals in the wild. And she says we believe that COVID-19 came out of animals in the wild as well. She says anytime a virus moves from an animal to a human, humans have no immunity. And that's what's been so difficult about this particular virus, she says. Dr. Burks goes on to say that as states reopen, there is some advice for older people. And she says she wants to make it clear that we still have significant concerns about people with pre-existing conditions and the elderly. She says we know that they are the most susceptible to a more serious outcome, both hospitalization and potential fatality. She says people with pre-existing conditions should stay at home. When going out, they should wear a mask. And she was also asked about the risk of reinfection for those who've already been ill. She says what should be reassuring to people is that when you get an infection and you make antibodies, your body remembers how to do that. You may not currently be making antibodies, but as soon as you get reinfected, your body remembers that and then quickly makes antibodies much more quickly the second time. She says people shouldn't be concerned that their antibody levels may wane because if they do get re-exposed, they'll make antibodies very quickly. Dr. Burks was also asked what should people look for in their home states. She replies that all states should be doing really, really critical surveillance in long-term care facilities out of concern that an asymptomatic worker or an asymptomatic person who comes into the nursing home may unknowingly spread the virus to his residents. She was asked the ambitious question, will we find patient zero? She says we will absolutely be able to get to that level of clarity, including in which countries the travelers from China began that initial spread country by country. She says there are extraordinary evolutionary molecular biologists who can really figure this out for us. She says they'll be able to recreate in great detail where this virus came from, how it traveled around the globe, and where different countries had seeds of that virus introduced and when they were introduced. She says that we can develop a universal vaccine for different strains of the virus, and she says that's the good part. She says, of course, we don't have experience with this virus, but they hope to make a vaccine that is made available today against COVID-19 that will work tomorrow and will work a year from now. Finally, in her discussion, she goes on to say that any American can go to the National Institute of Health website, clinicaltrials.gov. She says there it lists every single trial that is going on, every clinical trial for COVID-19, whether it's vaccines or therapeutics, so Americans can stay informed. You're listening to New Beginnings. This is our health segment on the program today. And now from COVID-19, we take a hard right turn to talk about voting, and we'll spend a couple of minutes on this. The question is, will older voters decide the election? For decades, older adults have been the backbone of American elections, consistently voting in greater numbers than any other age group. And by all appearances, older Americans were on track to be the top influencers again this November. And then came COVID-19. Long lines at polling places in some of the early primaries and caucuses gave way after the pandemic was declared on March 11th to increased absentee balloting, tense in-person voting features, face mask and National Guards people, and postponed primaries. The pandemic has had a cataclysmic effect on American health, jobs, wealth, and lifestyles. But the question is, will it also disrupt the most fundamental responsibility of citizens, which is voting? According to Patricia Ziado, she is the co-chair of the Salem for All Ages initiatives and a retired college educator in Salem, Massachusetts. She says, "We will vote." She says there's no doubt in her mind that people will come out to the polls or mail in their ballots however it takes shape, but they will vote in the upcoming election. She says that while we may change the way we vote, the turnout will continue to be strong and Americans 50 plus will maintain their position as powerful decision makers. Others caution that the pandemic could dampen turnout, depending in large part on the breadth and the expanse of new coronavirus infections this fall. Earlier this year, AARP asked over 50 voters what one thing mattered most when voting for a candidate. Here are the answers. 61% said that their stance on the issues that they personally care about. Another 10% said experience alone was important to them. And also another 10% said strong electability and capability of staging a winning campaign. 9% said political party affiliation, and 9% said character or personality traits. However you decide to vote, Ziado says it's important to make your voice heard at the polls, no matter how you get there. Each weekend on New Beginnings, it's our job to bring you information that you can count on, whether it be with jobs and industry, maybe it's health and your finance. We also talk about spirituality as well as talking about how to manage your money. We hope that you find information that you can use each week right here on New Beginnings. My email address is simply freddie@freddiebell.com. I'll say it again, freddie@freddiebell.com. By phone, 888-639-9738, 888-639-9738. New Beginnings is appointed listening each weekend right here on your favorite radio station, and we invite you to tell a friend and also to bring your iPad or your utility device to make sure that you can take great information, because we do share quite a bit with you each weekend on your favorite radio program. We have a lot more to come up. All you have to do is stay right there. We'll be hearing from Kitty Harris, the Center Coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Also from Kelly Von Hanekamp, the founder of West Metro Hypnosis. And we'll be turning our attention to Unity South Church for a lesson that's in progress from the Senior Minister, Reverend Stacy. All you have to do is stay right there. This is New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, wake up to your success.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Sister Spokesman. Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman!
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Our program is underway, and this is the first weekend of summer. And with us right now, we turn our attention to Kelly Von Heidekamp. She is the founder of West Metro Hypnosis. Online at westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975 by phone. And it was interesting as we were discussing in our warm-up what we'd be talking about today. And Kelly says, well, I guess I have to talk about Father's Day. And I just smiled. And so we're talking about Father's Day this weekend. Kelly, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Freddie, and happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you so much, and to you and yours.
Yes, thank you. And I do think it's important to honor our fathers. They play such an important role. And every now and then I like to take a reading from the Daily Word, a magazine that you and I are both familiar with, and their word of the day is a father's blessing. I give thanks for all expressions of fatherly love. My relationship with my father may have been positive and nurturing, or it may have been difficult and challenging. He may have been a strong presence during my childhood, or he may have been absent. We may be part of each other's lives today. We may be estranged, or he may have passed early from earthly life. Whatever our circumstances, I bless my father and I see him unfolded in divine love. As I honor my father, I also honor all the father figures who have helped guide me along my path. Family members, teachers, neighbors, clergy, employers, and friends. I bless them as I recall all the ways each one in a unique way has modeled strength, guidance, wisdom, and patience. Their presence remains with me thanks to their gifts of fatherly love. And so that is the father's blessings today. And I think it's important to take a moment and really recognize the roles that our fathers have played, even the challenging and the difficult roles. And it's a perfect opportunity to move into forgiveness, to move into a deeper understanding. And it's also a perfect opportunity to encompass not only necessarily the male people in our lives, but just that fatherly masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And we know that all beings have the capacity for feminine energy and for masculine energy. And they all have their place in life. And they are equal in importance, but very, very different in how they show up. And I think that's an important recognition for people to move into on this Father's Day weekend, and just to acknowledge that and honor it and give thanks for it.
What's a good way to honor a father? I mean, you talked about just a second ago about giving thanks. What about those families where the father has passed on, or maybe the child doesn't even know who the father is?
Well, again, I think it's honoring and becoming aware of that masculine presence, that masculine energy that has come to that person in other ways, in different ways. Because if we're completely honest, there are a lot of strained relations in families and things. And so if we can't give gratitude necessarily for the specific biological person, what can we give thanks for? And how does that help us move into a place of grace, a place of reflection that feels a little bit more gentle and forgiving, not necessarily for the other person, but for us as an individual to be able to move forward?
That's Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis talking about Father's Day, and this is New Beginnings.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
As we continue our discussion this weekend on New Beginning, let's talk about your money. And I was looking at Susan Tumpor's writing from the Detroit Free Press, and she's saying that super low mortgage rates, which took hold back in early April, are now amazingly stretching into the summer, giving many who didn't refinance a chance to do so. She says the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate is 3.5%, actually 3.56%, close to the record low of 3.5%, that according to Greg McBride, a chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com. Essentially, mortgage rates have hovered around 3.6% ever since the U.S. economy was rocked by widespread shutdowns to stem the spread of COVID-19, particularly in major metropolitan areas such as Detroit and New York. Now, what's possible? Mortgage rates could remain quite low for several weeks or even months. The catch is, if you will, is that many bargain rates will be available mainly to borrowers with good credit, proof of income, and enough equity built up in their homes as lenders try to limit their losses should a recession last for longer than many would expect. What happens if your credit score is below 700, Susan asks? Well, higher hurdles and tighter lending standards could prove to be a roadblock for some people who would like to take advantage of lower rates, including small business owners and others who may have difficulty documenting their income. McBride says credit has really gotten tight for people looking for money with credit scores below 700 and for those seeking a cash-out refinance or for jumbo fixed-rate mortgages. He says jumbo loans, which often require larger down payments, apply to mortgages that exceed $510,400. He goes on to say if you're looking to refinance or to take out a new mortgage, it's increasingly important to make sure that you've checked your credit report for free at annualcreditreport.com, pay down your credit card debt, and stay clear of opening new credit cards. He says you want to make sure that you pay every month and to do it on time. High jobless rates and the expectation that home values ultimately will drop or soften in the future are driving some lenders to take a more cautious approach that, according to Keith Gumbinger, a vice president at HSH.com, which is a mortgage information website. He says certainly with risk on the rise, it's to be expected that at least some lenders would be trying to limit their exposure to potential future loss. And even so, not all lenders are reacting the same way. J.P. Morgan Chase, for example, now requires that customers who apply for a new mortgage must also have a credit score of at least 700 and make a down payment equal to 20% of the home's value. Chase has also stopped approving new home equity lines of credit. Wells Fargo has stopped doing cash-out refinancing and is no longer accepting applications for new home equity lines of credit. Just some ideas to keep you abreast of what's happening with mortgage rates, which took hold back in early April and now amazingly have stretched into the summer, giving those of you who didn't refinance a second chance to do so. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. We have a lot of information coming up in the program, and all you have to do is stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everyone. I am Freddie Bell, and with me now is the center coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. They're located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you'd like to reach them directly, here's their telephone number, 612-344-2221. And we're happy to welcome Kitty Harris. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Freddie. I am amazing. How are you?
Unbelievable and excited to talk with you because there's usually something going on at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And one of your key collaborative partners, Alive and Kicking, they have a lot to talk about these days.
Yes, Alive and Kicking, our senior rock group where you have to be 62 to get in, and the catchphrase is, this is not your grandmother's choir. They are actually celebrating their 10 years of being a choir and serving our community. So June is marked 10 years that they have been in operation. And in celebration of their 10 years, they were planning to host their big community show out at the Bloomington Center for the Arts, where they do free community performances for us every year. But due to COVID-19, they were not able to. So they got very creative with a way of how we could still commemorate this wonderful 10 years and still get the community involved. And so what they did is they put together a season by season journey, and we are inviting people to visit their website, which is www.aliveandkickinmn.org. And once you go onto that website, it breaks down. We have these wonderful video montages that celebrate each season of Alive and Kicking and their journey through music and honoring our seniors.
Wow. Everybody, we're talking with Kitty Harris, the center coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, one of our partners on New Beginnings. And we're talking about the 10th anniversary of Alive and Kicking. Always smile when you describe them a 60-plus rock group.
Yes. And the beauty about Alive and Kicking, the founder, Michael Matthews, when he founded this organization, he wanted to still give people who were in the arts and entertainment world a realm to be, a safe place to be. And we know how important at the center music and art is in helping with memory and helping with Alzheimer's and dementia, and how it is able to bring people back and helps with the memory muscle mass, and you have to remember song lyrics. Mm-hmm. And so when people visit the website, which is again www.aliveandkickinmn.org, they'll get to see the stories and the journeys. That's one of the things Alive and Kicking, they pride themselves on. They pride themselves on providing a story through music, and you feel like you're going on a journey with the person as they're singing these songs, and you're connecting with them because they're songs that you've heard, that you have a memory to, that you have a connection to. And now when you see it through someone else's eyes, it enhances your experience with that music. So it's a very powerful journey when you start dealing with music and memory and connection.
Wow. So is that available right now, or is there a date when it's open and you can see this wonderful journey of Alive and Kicking?
It's available right now for people to view, and there's new content that's being added every day. And I can tell you, just being able to see them in their full costumes with some of the themes that they had from 10 years ago to now, it's just so beautiful and it's so inspiring. And the underlying message of it all is love. And that's what we really need right now in our world, is a little bit more love, a little bit more laughter, a little bit more music, a little bit more fun. And so to see them put this together, from all walks of life, and come together under the same common goal, is to share your experience using music, it's definitely beautiful. So again, we invite people to visit the website www.aliveandkickingmn.org or check us out on Facebook. You can find it under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. You can connect to the Alive and Kicking page there. And if anybody has any questions specifically about Alive and Kicking, 612-382-7155.
All right. Thank you, Kitty Harris. She is the center coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And this is New Beginnings.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Now, we might note in the story, why did Elijah tell the widow and her children to go in the house and close the door? Well, a few moments ago, we sang Jesus' perfect pattern of prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And in the scripture, the instruction given before the Lord's Prayer is to also go within your room and close the door. This is symbolic of going within, as we say in Unity, entering a time of meditation or prayer, where you close the door to all the outer activity in your world and you allow yourself to be centered in a powerful thought and eventually to rest in the silence. So this is the importance of the widow closing the door of her house. Next, we might ask ourselves, how many containers do you have that can be filled with God's outpouring of good? Do you have enough? Not just to receive a lot of stuff, but to increase your confidence so that you can truly ask for what you need. Here's how I learned the principle of this story. Maybe some of you have had similar circumstances. Years ago, and I will emphasize years ago, when I was in college and away from home, I often had the dreaded experience of calling home for money. And that meant asking my father. And over time and practice, I realized that it was truly about more than just the money, just the check. My mother would encourage me on the side, ask with confidence. And she said, ask what you really need. She said, your father will give you whatever you ask. And so I experimented over time, and I noticed, I'd say, oh, Dad, to get through the rest of this month, I need $50. Okay. And in a few days, it arrived in the mail. Another time, I was a little bolder, a little more confident. Dad, I need $200 to get through this month. Okay, I'll send you a check. And then as my confidence really grew, Dad, I'm going to need $500 to get through this month. Okay, son, it's on its way. But when I asked him that first time for 50, he didn't send 500. He sent what I was ready and willing to ask for. In other words, what I was ready to receive. It seemed to me this was very similar to life in this world. God responds to what we are really ready to receive. I heard a Unity teacher from a long time ago say that there was a truth principle we could all practice. And it was this principle. Life will give you as much as you can truly appreciate. Life will give you as much as you can truly appreciate. And that appreciate is not just saying, thanks, Dad, and going about your business. Appreciate means to see the worth of something, to see its true value. So, some of us that love to study the idea of the power of intention, for example, know that the power, the true value that you appreciate in the intention that you set will call forth the appropriate response and outpouring of good. Now, the widow went back to Elisha after this amazing multiplication, the amazing increase of the valuable oil in her household. She went back to Elisha, and going to the man of God meant she went seeking spiritual guidance. So that is a principle we find in our prayer and meditation work. We are seeking spiritual guidance. She asked Elijah, what do I do now? Elijah said, do something with the increase. He suggested that she take that valuable oil and sell it, and that it would bring in enough income to satisfy the creditors. Her two sons would not be taken away and sold into slavery. And there would be plenty left over that would sustain her and her children for quite a while. Now, Charles Fillmore often said to Unity students, get behind the idea. Get behind the idea of the story. What is the principle? What is it that you can learn? So it seemed to me when I looked at this story, these are the seven essential action steps that I can practice, that I can learn from Elisha and the widow. I'll go over them quickly since we do not have unlimited time. Step one, go to the man of God. That is, seek spiritual guidance through meditation and prayer. Step two, consider what do you have of value? What do you want to see increased in your life to meet a need like the widow did? Step three, prepare to receive the increase. In our story, the widow went to all of her neighbors and got all of the empty containers she could find, all that she could imagine that she could possibly fill. You know, perhaps like my experience with my father, that widow might have collected twice as many vessels and ultimately had twice as much oil. But in our story, she collected all the vessels that she could imagine could be filled with good. The fourth step, concentrate. Remember, she closed the door of her house upon she and her sons so that they could focus. Focus on this intention of increase and trusting that God would meet their need. The fifth step, she returned to seek spiritual guidance from Elisha once again, to know, what should I do with this increased good? Step 6, put it to work. Just like the widow sold the oil, what powerful idea or skill that you discover within yourself, how can you put it to work in your life?
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.